Hey everyone, here is our last interview live from RTX 2019, and this time we got to speak with the founder of Pause Your Game, Josh Hoffman. Take a listen and excuse the background noise. So let's jump right into it. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about how Pause Your Game came around?
So my name is Josh, and Pause Your Game is my nonprofit. And what we do is we help raise money for local no-kill shelters through video game marathons and events. So how it came to be is that in 2017, my life was kind of troubling at that point. I just got out of a stressful relationship. I was doing a job I hated. I was completely depressed. I just had surgery, so I was going through post-surgical depression on top of it. And then my rescue dog, my first rescue dog named Sophie, got sick. And she had a rare genetic disorder that couldn't be treated. And unfortunately, I had to put her down. And at that point, she was pretty much the only reason why I was sticking around. And after that, I attempted to take my own life. Somebody who I met on World of Warcraft about 10 years prior, I messaged him and I said, make sure that your kids don't grow up knowing how much of a loser I was, because I set him and his wife up. So they have their two children now kind of because of me. So so when I messaged him that, he was like, there's something wrong. So he got a hold of my family. And before anything could happen, they found me. And a couple days later, I ended up in a psych ward for about 10 days and then residential treatment for about 2 months. During my time in residential treatment, the first day of treatment, I walked in. My dog's name was Sophie, by the way. I walked in and it was group therapy. And on the wall, there was an urn with a picture of a dog. And I was like, oh, that's nice. Let me walk over and, you know, see. And the plaque read, in loving memory of Sophie. And I was like, okay, if that's not the universe screaming at me that I need to be here, then, you know, that's... So from there, a lot of the patients and I bonded through video games and, like, Dungeons & Dragons and stuff like that. And I've been a part of Extra Life for about 10 years now. Oh. There was no nonprofit, as far as I knew, that did video games for shelters. And so we were going to start to do Pause Your Game as just all shelters altogether.
Yeah.
However, when I left treatment, I started doing more research on the shelter industry. And there are two types of shelters. There are kill shelters, which are mainly run by the city or the state. And then there are non-kill shelters, which are usually private. Kill shelters usually bring in animals. And if they seem unable to be adopted, whether or not they have social issues or whatever, they'll just put them down. Even if it's a dog that could be 7 years old that's full of life, it really doesn't matter if they bring in a puppy that's or 3 years old or whatever, they'll usually take the dog and kill it at that point. They use taxpayer money to do it as well. So on top of that, it's just more.
Yeah.
So there are ways that you can not be a no-kill. It usually boils down to management and what programs are in place for that shelter. So that's pretty much it. I mean, we were trying to raise money for local no-kill.
Yeah.
So anybody who has a survival rate of 80% or above, we're trying to partner with.
Okay. So when it comes to when you make the donations or send the no kill shelters money, are there any stipulations of what they use it for? Can you give us a little background on like what
not necessarily stipulations, but what do no-kill shelters Absolutely. Need money for? Yeah.
So a lot of times they need money for medical. They bring the dogs off the street or the cats off the street, and a lot of them have fleas or heartworm or diseases like that. They use the money to rehabilitate them and then bring them into the public eye. So a lot of times a shelter will be run on fosters. So fosters will have the animal for about 3 to 4 months for like a recovery period, and then they'll be able to adopt them out. So it's mainly medical, food, housing for the dog. Nonprofit rescues that run off of fosters pay for the dog's care as well. So you're actually not financially responsible for the animal when you foster. Yeah. You're just giving it a couch to sleep on because it needs it. So, yeah. And there's around right now 800,000 dogs and cats and other various animals that are put down in shelters because of overcrowding and overpopulation. However, there are around 30 million people a year looking to bring an animal into their home. So the numbers don't really add up. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to raise awareness and bring fosters in and volunteers that are in the gaming community to be able to help these people who don't have the outreach that some of us do. So.
And when it comes down to it, so say that somebody at home, I mean, I rescued my dog, so rescuing dogs is really important to me. She's the best thing that ever happened to me. Mm-hmm. When people are looking to get a pet, and they don't, do shelters kind of like put it up front, you know, there's other survival rates or their status as a non-kill?
They have to, yeah.
Okay.
A lot of them try to hide it, so... The thing about no-kill is that the definition is a little weird. How we describe it is that if the dog or cat or whatever kind of animal is irremediably suffering, mm-hmm. so behavioral issues that can't be like corrected at all, it's just like rabid, health like cancer or another disease that could potentially kill them, mm-hmm. Putting those animals down, it's humane.
Mm-hmm.
But... if you have a healthy animal that enters a shelter, why can't you just get it adopted? So that's, yeah.
And when it comes to kill shelters, is it that they're not putting, I guess, a lot of, how is there a difference in the adopting process between a no-kill shelter and a kill shelter?
So a lot of shelters don't really know how to market. So, for mm-hmm. instance, the one that I had my dog from, her sister and her mother are still available. They've been in the shelter for almost 2 years now. So, but they don't have the presence or like the following or whatever. So what we're trying to do is on our platform that we're developing, we're going to be able to have it so that shelters can share what animals are available for adoption so that gamers can then share, hey, this animal's looking for an adoption. If they do a stream or whatever, they're able to just show the animal. So,
yeah. Getting eyes out there on them.
Exactly. Because that's what we really need is, and that's what the rescue industry needs, is more people, more volunteers, more advocacy and awareness. So that's what we're looking to spread.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to get involved with you, what are some of the ways that they could do? Because I know you mentioned, one, I'm assuming like... beyond just raising money, is there anything else that people can do with you guys?
Right now we are signed up with Humble Bundle and Amazon Smile. We're also on Tiltify while we get our platform built. So right now, my partner, Ian, he is building the entire infrastructure. We're hoping to have it built by October, because October is Adopt-a-Pet Month. Aww. So we want to have a month-long stream for the month of October and find streamers that want to be involved and help out local shelters. Right now we're kind of doing that.
And so how long have you guys been around?
A year. And we've been completely self-funded. RTX is actually our first convention. I met Jack Patillo at another gaming event. Great guy, absolute sweetheart. He invited us, so we're honestly here because of him. And it's been incredible. So lots of support.
That's awesome. I'm trying to think of, I have a lot of questions, but it's also it's weird because like I think that what are some of the things that you think more people took into consideration or, you know, when they adopt or mm-hmm. when they rescue that maybe we don't think of?
So a lot of times if you get a puppy at a pet store or offline,
their mom and dad are usually overbred. So a lot of times you'll see adults that enter shelters. Mm-hmm. They're like engorged and they look like they've had like 35 litters. That was probably a breeding dog and they just dumped them after they're done with them, unfortunately. That's where we try to do trap, neuter, release and spay and neuter programs. So that's another thing that we try to get involved in. And it's just, it's tough because pet shops, they have pricing. And what a lot of shelters will do now, which is really cool, is pet shops, some of them, I think here in Texas, they do this. They will ally themselves with local pet stores. And they'll have the animals in the pet stores, but all the proceeds still go to that rescue. So there's still a place to kind of keep the animals if they need them. That's like sort of a safe environment. But, you know, it's a little different between who it's. It really boils down to politics and what the person at the shelter is doing for the animals. So.
Is there anything else that like you would like to add? Like, just because I can go on for days just asking like intricate questions shelters and rescues. Yeah. I guess for me, like, what are some ways that we can help in one, either help your org or kind of help this larger issue that.
So, fun fact, if 2% of gamers right now that have a companion animal started fostering, we could actually end euthanasia tomorrow. So fostering is very, very important. It's probably one of the most important things for a rescue to even survive. Donations also help, obviously. It's really about you're taking an animal that could be on the street and could be killed, and you're taking it into your house. And even though it might take 2 years for them to get adopted, you're still technically being funded by that nonprofit. So you're not financially responsible. And it feels good to actually help somebody who might need that dog or that cat that you're fostering. And even though it's hard to give them away, it's still a heartwarming thing to experience.
You said you wanted to like kind of help all, you know, not no kill shelters and nonprofits in that way. Where are you guys based out of?
We're in South Florida right now. Parkland is where I reside. I think Florida is about a 75% kill rate. Texas, I think, is 100% no kill, but we're trying to do that across the country. So Florida's really. With their politics and their policies on kill shelters, a lot of them will advertise that they're not, but still do. And it's sad, but that's the reality.
So how do you all kind of like pick where, which shelters the money will go to first, or is there a strategy behind kind
of so there's a couple nonprofits that I've talked to already. One I was going to volunteer at until I figured out that even though they're no kill, they do something that's extremely unethical, which is hoarding. So they have a 3-strike rule at this one rescue, even though it's non kill. If a cat or a dog bites somebody 3 times, they lock them into like a basically, it's like not off-site, but it's you can't see it publicly, and they live there throughout the rest of their life, which is, it's okay. At that point, you're like, why don't you just put the animal down?
Yeah.
But they don't bother getting training for the animals or anything like that. And a lot of these nonprofits will be get raided by the FBI and stuff. There's a couple down in Florida that actually have been because they were using their funds to buy like BMWs and things of that nature, not actually help the animals. So we do a lot of investigating before we engage with a nonprofit. So like they're not going to be on our list. But yeah, so even though they're no kill, it's still there's
a lot that goes into it. It's not just
exactly.
These are explicitly nonprofit shelters, correct?
Yes. Okay. Organizations and ones that run on fosters as well. So
And so, like, kind of like, I'm not sure if this falls within the same scope of, you know, the nonprofit non-kill shelters, but I know that, like, Florida has breed restrictions in some of their cities.
Yep.
Are there any ways to, like, help with that, or is that, or does that directly feed into sheltering?
It depends on where you live. It also depends on whether or not it's, like, a privately owned place. So the apartment that I live in right now, there's breed restrictions, but there's not a breed restrictions on pit bulls, believe it or not, which is
it seems
really crazy, but German Shepherds, Rottweilers, those, nope, but pit bulls are totally okay. I happen to have a pit bull. She looks nothing like a pit bull, but yeah, she is.
I know, I think it, What about when it's at, like, the city level, though? Because aren't there a few cities in there where it's
You could actually get involved by calling your politicians and writing them letters. We're planning on doing that a lot. We want to eventually host... why am I blanking on the word? Protests. Okay. So we want to help stop pet shop selling and things of that nature. So we have a few people that are interested in helping us rally.
Yeah.
And, we're just looking for any type of help that we can get. So
is there any idea, obviously not as probably integral as those questions, but why exactly gamers? I mean, obviously you talked a little bit about how gaming's helped you, but is there anything else of you, I guess, any type of, I guess, reason of, like, I guess, streaming-wise?
I've been a gamer my entire life. The guy who saved me is a gamer. I met him on World of Warcraft, so it was like kind of like that. As far as streaming goes, I don't do it because I don't have the energy. However, I would love to find people that like align with our vision and have them brought on board, because that would be it's incredible. No streamer too big or too small. So
awesome. Well, that's all I have. For one, I would like to see how, you know, we can help you guys and use our platform, because, I mean, like I said, I rescued our dog. And so it's really important.
What kind of
breed? So she is a shepherd beagle mix.
She's
40 pounds, has like a pure shepherd coat, but like has like a little rotty face a little bit with the colorings.
Yeah.
She is extremely energetic.
Yeah. Charlie is almost 2. She's 20 pounds. Her mom, who's a pit bull, got brought into the shelter. They didn't know she was pregnant. And then 8 puppies later, Charlie was one of them. And when you put her and the mom next to each other, you're like, "What? Who's your dad? You look nothing like your mom." And it's, so.
It was funny, and my dog's name is Leia. Okay. On her paperwork, it said that she was a Rottweiler Mastiff mix.
Oh, wow.
And she's like a 40-pound, like, wow. No, not 40, but actually 30. She was 40 at one point. We put her on a little doggy diet. She's down to 31, perfectly healthy. And I'm like, you're not, because she's 8 and she's fully grown, tiny. I'm just like, wow. Okay, this was really weird.
Yeah.
But I do know, and this is more conversational than interview, but like, we have our vet has been really good about like, I see that this isn't here. One, she's not these things, but I also know that this can, it can make it like, what is it? Putting the breed on paper can make it harder or easier for keeping them in homes. Because I know Austin actually has a lot of breed restrictions in like the breed and weight restrictions for a lot of their apartments.
Well, a lot of, you mentioned vets. Yeah. A lot of rescues are actually in debt to vets, which is another thing they need money for, because they could have a dog that's brought in that needs like $20,000 worth of work on it.
Yeah.
Some rescues can't pay for that, and they don't know how to fundraise to bring in that money. However, we could help them with that.
Yeah, because it's one of the things that I've always found weird, because Austin Pets Alive is pretty much everywhere in the city. Like, they have a lot of visibility. But one of the things that I've always found interesting is you don't really notice any of those marketing efforts in the same way that you notice them for, like, other charities.
Right.
So when I'm thinking about it, I mean, streaming offers such a large platform to start bringing money in.
Oh, yeah.
In it kind of, like, takes the fundraising up a level into right. like the into 2019.
Exactly. So the platform that we're developing is actually going to be a fundraising platform.
Oh,
it's not
awesome.
A streaming platform.
Yeah.
So once we have it developed, gamers will be able to go to pauseyourgame.org, sign up as one of our gamers, and they'll be able to pick a no-kill shelter of their choice. Once they do that, they'll be able to set up fundraising efforts either through streaming or social. And 100% of the proceeds that that gamer raises goes to that no-kill shelter. So we,
wow.
as a nonprofit, don't actually make anything.
Yeah.
We're kind of just the middleman to create this
community. You're
connecting community.
People.
Exactly. It's yeah, not about the awesome. Funds. It's about helping the animals. So I'm
exactly.
more about that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I have a full-time job for a reason.
Yep.
Don't we all?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it... But thank you for talking with us and
yeah,
sharing your story. I mean, like,
so cool.
I have Leia in my life because mm-hmm. I have, like, really bad anxiety and panic disorder. And I probably shouldn't have adopted her when I did just because mm-hmm. I had a very small apartment. And
right.
I didn't know all the work that went into a dog. But when she came into my life, it was just, it mm-hmm. was different.
Yeah.
There's
totally...
just something about having that little child with
right.
you all
yeah,
the time.
When you come home, it's just like... Okay, this is awesome. I have something that actually looks forward to me
exactly.
being here. And that's what's so cool. But yeah, I mean, I loved Sophie. She was the best thing ever. Charlie is completely like the exact opposite dog. Artie destroyed like $300 worth of like furniture and stuff in my house, whereas Sophie was an angel. So yeah, it's a different kind of love. But yeah, they're all fantastic. And yeah, I know that my story isn't necessarily a unique one, per se, but yeah, I mean, if it helps anybody out there to kind of, who needs to hear it, that, hey, you're not alone if you're kind of, you know, miserable,
yeah.
I guess, we're here to help in any way that we can, whether it's through finding an animal for you
yeah.
or just being an ear to listen to.
'Cause I don't think a lot of people understand the... like the emotional support that just having
right.
an animal
mm-hmm.
can provide you.
I think there was a recent study that came out that said like 73% of people that were interviewed said that they feel happier and more like calm when
yeah.
their animal is around. So it does help with mental illness. I was diagnosed with a major depressive disorder, something called schizoid personality disorder, and bipolar 2. So with all three powers combined, yeah, it's been quite an interesting life.
Yeah.
It wasn't always like that. When I attempted, my entire personality changed. My parents had tests on my brain because of
yeah.
how drastic it changed. And I'm just trying not to be a bad human at this point. Everybody's here for a reason. And we're all important, and we all serve a purpose. So, and this is currently mine, and I'm hoping to invite more gamers on board so that it becomes theirs as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, well, thank you so much for talking with
yeah,
us
thank
and,
you.
And recording this.
Of
and...
course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I do have one last question of where are y'all going to be next?
We are actually going to be at TwitchCon, so San Diego. So, yep, we'll be there. Like I said, hopefully by October we'll have our platform, and then yeah, we'll be able to rock and roll and help kill shelters all over the place. So, or no kill shelters rather.
Awesome. Well, why don't you tell us and everybody listening where they can find you?
So, if you go to pauseyourgame.org, we have all our information there. If you want to get involved with streaming, you can email us at community@pauseyourgame.org, or we have various social media: Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at pauseyourgame. So.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate this. This is very
Actually,
cool.